Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And my traveling, of course, has been definitely cut to, like, zero since February. It's really, we're in September right now. It's been really wild. Like, I can... we're all going through it all over the world, and looking forward to next year. Usually I'm never one to say I'm looking forward to the future. I mean, I love the future, don't get me wrong, but I love to enjoy now, here and now. But it's been very trying for everybody, and this is so new, this COVID-19 and the politics and this it's just been a very weird world, I think, for everybody. And today I'm really excited because we have Stephen Sless, who's coming on today, and he's a regular contributor to us. I trust him wholeheartedly, and it's just really fun because we will get good, solid information up to date today about reverse mortgages. So much is going on, and, you know, I don't know about you, but so many of us are used to Googling and, or, you know, whichever search engine you use, and we don't always get all the facts, and there's so much information everywhere we go. I mean, I'm an old-timer, and you can't even go into the store and buy something without seeing 50 or 100 different varieties. So it's just really wonderful to me when we can simplify things and we can make sense of it, and we know it really is the real deal. And because today, I think what I'm hearing from many people, including myself, is that we just don't know what's to believe, like our normal is not normal and things are changing, and it's just so important to stay balanced today. So where do we go from here? COVID-19 has had a major effect on all of us, and we all pray that you and your family are safe and healthy. This period has caused us to really look at what is most important. We are also so used to trusting that our monies are safe, our plans are intact, at least to the point that we have made plans. It's so important right now to keep peace, to stay the course, to not have fear, to really think like a leader, because otherwise you're going to be pulled in so many directions. Reverse mortgages have changed dramatically for the better, and Steve, an expert in reverse mortgages, is going to join us today and give us details on how to age in place and even purchase a home either using a reverse mortgage or a forward reverse mortgage. And I bet many on here, we have agents, brokers that will listen to it later. Most of the people download these days because the podcasts are so easy to do it rather than listen to live, but it varies. I bet many didn't know that you can actually get credit lines on your reverse mortgages now that earn interest. And as I was mentioning in the beginning, we don't know who to trust anymore. Things are just up in the air, and I believe they will settle down in time. And we'll all make it. It's life, and life is not always easy. I love having Steve on our show because he is a master at doing his homework on reverse mortgages daily, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. He truly cares about everyone he serves. It isn't just a business venture for him, and I'm honored to know him. And I've known him long enough now, seen what he does and hear what he does, you know, that I know he really – we can depend on what he tells us. Of course, on here, we don't give legal advice because we're not allowed to, so you always want to do your own homework, et cetera, and things do change, so we just want to put that out there. He takes the time to get to know people and trust comes with time. Stephen Sless runs PRMI's first consumer direct retail branch dealing with exclusively with reverse mortgages. He's located in Owings Mills, Maryland, but he can actually place you and give you help anywhere in the country. He also coaches traditional loan originators working at PRMI's 270 branches nationwide about reverse mortgages. He is a powerful speaker and communicator. He regularly presents seminars and learning workshops for senior homeowners, their family, and trusted advisors. And with today, with most of us using Zoom and other platforms, he can do this for you anywhere, wherever you are. It's easy to set up. Stephen educates on how the strategic use of home wealth by way of a reverse mortgage can protect and preserve a retirement portfolio to ensure so seniors don't outlive their money. It seems very, very important because a lot of people, how do we know if monies are safe? Are they really safe in the stock market? Are they really safe in the banks? I mean, the banks say they're insured up to $250,000 by FDIC, but what happens if there's a run on the banks? What happens with the federal? I mean, it's these protections are in place, but what really happens? And some of you may be saying, well, I don't have any money saved or any money put anywhere. That's okay. It's really important to look at the whole picture and still be safe. The one thing about a reverse mortgage and your property is it's there. You know, you have to pay taxes. Taxes have to be paid. Insurance has to be paid. But and you have insurance to cover any destruction. So it's a very, very safe investment. So I could go on and on and on, but I don't want to do that because I'm going to bring Stephen on. His goal is to dispel the myths and common misperceptions about reverse mortgages. So us old-timers and many people that have heard about them from the 90s were not a good time to do reverse mortgages, in my opinion. Maybe they probably were if you really knew what you were doing, but now is a good time. So many laws and changes have come into effect to protect everybody, so it's really a cool thing. And in 2019, Stephen earned the CLTC, which stands for Certified Long-Term Care Professional Designation, and financially, physically, and emotionally to protect people for years down the road. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Stephen Sless. Hey, how are you?
I am fantastic. That was some testimony there. I'm humbled by it. I appreciate it. I'm grateful.
I really mean it.
I'm excited to be back on with you.
Thank you. It's so great to have you on because you really do your homework, you know, and I know we get we're giving everybody really good, you're giving really wonderful nuggets and advice to help people and have that. You know, lots of times with what you've done, with what I've done, when we really become experts in our field, and they say you're an expert after 10,000 hours, well, I think we've got way more than, you know, when you look at it, it's way more than that. Way more. I think I was like over 100,000 when I add up all these years. Oh, my goodness. And we take it for granted that people kind of know things that we know. You know, everybody knows something that the other doesn't know, right? And I think this is really important right now. I'd never really thought about how, you know, our home is so important. Now, right now, lots of landlords are in big trouble around the country, and I had to experience something firsthand as well with a property. And, you know, with all the moratoriums, there's like people, oh, my gosh, they might lose the house if they can't pay the mortgage. And there's so many things going on that are so up in the air right now. But when it comes to a reverse mortgage with the home that you live in or that you own, it seems like it's such a safe place to be and to park your money. Would you agree kind of with this type of COVID situation going on?
Well, I think let's separate it. I think reverse mortgages are playing a big role in the American recovery right now. We're seeing reverse mortgages used by folks that you would never imagine would be great reverse mortgage candidates. There's a lot of folks that are coming to us right now with homes valued at over $1 million. They run businesses, they're CEOs and business professionals, and they're looking for a way to keep their business afloat. Maybe they borrowed money, maybe they took out one of the government loans to borrow money to keep their businesses afloat, but instead of pulling from all of their personal assets and depleting all of their personal assets, they're turning to their home, which their home is a big part of their overall net worth, and they're able to turn to their home and borrow some of their home equity using a reverse mortgage as a bridge loan to keep their business afloat. And so reverse mortgages are used by those professionals right now. And then we're also seeing, you know, a big conversation that we're having today is with the adult children of senior homeowners. You know, prior to COVID, maybe the plan was for mom and dad one day to go into a nursing home or a long-term care facility. And don't get me wrong, there's some very nice long-term care facilities. But now, given COVID, given what's happened in some of these long-term care facilities, now they want to make sure that mom and dad have a plan to age in place comfortably in the home that they love. And using the equity that's built up in the home is a great way to be able to afford that. And it's a great way for mom and dad to fund long-term care, to eliminate an existing mortgage payment, to free up some cash flow, maybe to supplement their retirement income. Oftentimes, proceeds from the reverse mortgage are used to improve the home, to make it more suitable for mom and dad's lifestyle needs as they're going to be growing older in this home and aging in place. And as you mentioned in the entrance and in the intro, and we can get into this a little bit more later on in the podcast, is you can actually buy a home with a reverse mortgage. And there's a lot of folks doing that right now.
Love it. Wow, I love it. It's just so cool because, you know, you really see how these different models can make such a difference in times of uncertainty. So for those people that may not know what a reverse mortgage is, fill us in on what exactly it is.
Yeah, so it's actually quite simple. A reverse mortgage gives homeowners 60-plus access to the wealth tied up in their home equity while they still own the home and they continue to live there. So you're borrowing some of the equity that you put into the home over the years by making regular mortgage payments. Now you've put yourself in a position where a good portion of your net worth does lie within your home equity. And a reverse mortgage unlocks that equity and it enables you to pull out some of that equity strategically and tax efficiently to fund a better retirement.
And did you say it's age 62, right? Or did that change?
So age 62 for the government-insured reverse mortgage. The jumbo products for homes that are valued over $800,000, nowadays you only have to be 60 to qualify for those products.
Really?
So that has changed. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that. Wow, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a big change. And what's happened is, the jumbo reverse mortgages are proprietary mortgage products. So they're developed by reverse mortgage lenders, and I think there's a need in the marketplace right now. Homeowners.
So they're not covered by the government insured at all. They're just strictly jumbos. Okay.
Yeah, these are proprietary loan products. Now they still have a lot of the same protections that the government products have, but they're not government issued products. These are proprietary products that have been developed by reverse mortgage lenders to fill a void within the marketplace, and that void was folks with higher valued homes. There's a lot of folks out there with homes that are worth, $800,000, $1 million. We closed a reverse mortgage last month for a home that was valued $4.5 million, and we were able to draw out $2.1 million in cash, tax-free cash, that this person was able to take and repurpose to fund a better retirement. So there's been a lot of innovation over the years with these reverse mortgage products.
Quick question, because you know how my mind will think of these different questions off that will kind of jump around but go back to the top. Quick question then. On the proprietary jumbo products, so to speak, are they protected, for example, on the government insured, if the value goes down, the government takes it. It's insuring the mortgage. On the proprietary products, are they still covered if the house ends up losing its value?
Yeah, so they're all non-recourse loan products, which means that no debt is passed on to the heirs or the estate if there's an overage above and beyond what's owed on the house when you leave the home.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. Wow. And you can do these in any. Uh-oh. You know what? Sorry about that. Are you there?
That's okay. I thought we were starting over.
That's what I do. I'm sitting. I'm just enjoying myself, sitting at home, and I hit the button by accident. So, see, I don't stay still too well, do I? You know me well enough for some reason. I don't know. So that is, I love it. I love it. So you can do them in all 50 states, right? pretty much?
So I'm licensed in 12 states. My company, Primary Residential Mortgage, is licensed in 49 of the 50, everywhere but New York. So yes, we can facilitate a reverse mortgage in almost all 50 states.
Hawaii too, huh? Because that's like a
Hawaii
cool.
too. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm loving this. So it's just right now with COVID, how does that? Okay, so the reverse mortgage is still going to be pretty much it's going to be 50%. The property has to have at least 50% equity in it. Is that a good rule of thumb for any property? Pretty much.
Yeah, good rule of thumb is about 50%. The older you are, the less equity you need to have. So if somebody is, I'd say, over 75, they may not need the full 50% equity to qualify. Somebody that's closer to 62, which is the qualifying age for the government-insured reverse mortgage product, I would say a general rule of thumb is you got to have about 50% equity.
Okay. When you said over 75, what would be just a percentage, just to throw one out there? And I know we're not giving legal advice, but and things could change, but what's approximate if they're over 75?
Yeah, you don't see a big swing, maybe 45% equity.
Okay.
So you still have to have close to that 50% number. So I would say 50% is a general rule of thumb. But if you're somebody that's serious about looking into it, you would want to reach out to us and we can do a proposal for you to let you know how much equity you do need to have.
Okay, that's fantastic. So I love it. I love it. I'm just excited because this gives you a lot of security right now, and you don't have to worry about, you know, your money just going up in wherever, right? Because it's right now. Do you see the stock market? It went way down, and it's going back up, and it's going back down, and just all over the place. You know, I wish when people do the option trading, it's risky, but I think or the swing trading, it does seem to get them more money, but it's risky, you know. So they say the long-term holding is good too, but it's weird. I'm going to ask you, can someone lose their home with a reverse mortgage?
So that's a misconception, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's where I always like to start. You hear out there, oh, if I do a reverse mortgage, I could lose my home. And that's simply not the case. And so I want to give you the backstory of why people think that way. And maybe in doing so, it'll help kind of folks understand why there's a misconception out there that you can lose your home with a reverse mortgage. So there are responsibilities in having a reverse mortgage. There's three main responsibilities. Number one, you have to pay your homeowner's insurance. Two, you have to pay your property taxes. And number three, you have to maintain the home because it's your house and you still own the home. Now, you may hear me say that and say, well, how is that different from having a traditional mortgage or even no mortgage at all? It's not. You own a home, you got to pay your taxes, you got to pay your insurance, and you got to maintain the home. With a reverse mortgage, if you do not meet any of those three responsibilities, the loan could be called due. And you would have to pay off the loan and at that point pay off the money that you borrowed. If you can't do so, you could be foreclosed on. But those are the three responsibilities. So as long as you meet those responsibilities, you cannot lose your home. Nobody in the history of reverse mortgages has ever lost their home because they have a reverse mortgage. But what's happened over the years, and not so much so since a lot of these new guideline changes have been implemented, and in 2015, there was a big change where now we have to look at credit and income as qualifying factors. Prior to 2015, if you were 62 and you had at that point, you know, close to 60, maybe even 65% equity and you own your home, you could qualify for a reverse mortgage and it didn't matter if you had good credit, good income, none of that mattered. What happened?
Okay.
Is you had a lot of people that were taking reverse mortgages for the wrong reasons. A reverse mortgage is not meant to be a loan of last resort. It's not meant to be a Band-Aid on an open wound. So if you're somebody who already can't afford to live in the home, if you can't afford to pay your property taxes or your homeowner's insurance, or if you can't afford to maintain the home, you shouldn't take out a reverse mortgage. But folks did. They got into trouble. They couldn't afford to pay their property taxes and comply with the responsibilities, and they lost their home. After 2015, now we have to look at credit. We have to look at income. You have to qualify for a reverse mortgage in a similar fashion that you have to qualify for a traditional mortgage. So the rate of foreclosure on reverse mortgages has plummeted. It's gone way down.
That makes
very
sense.
Very few people right now are getting foreclosed on. But to go back to the initial question, no, you cannot lose your home simply because having a reverse mortgage. You can lose your home, however, if you don't meet the terms of the loan.
That makes total sense. So, okay. So way back, like in the 90s, because reverse mortgage still is negative amortization, right? So when they borrow the money, they're going to owe more than what they – like say the mortgage is $300,000, the house is worth $600,000, and they get $300,000, they have $300,000 equity. That $300,000 is probably going to – it's going to be more when the loan comes due or when the person passes away, et cetera, right, because there's negative amortization. But because the interest rates are low now, that's probably – it's still good?
So that certainly has a lot to do with it. Interest rates on reverse mortgages right now are in the high twos, low threes. So it's a great way to borrow from your equity at a very, very low rate of interest. But, yes, reverse mortgages – the way that reverse mortgages work is you are borrowing tax-free from the equity in your home. Now – another misconception is there's no monthly mortgage payment. I like to call it a flexible payment. I don't like to say there's no payment because you can make a payment. You can treat it as a traditional loan if you want to. The key with a reverse mortgage and what a reverse mortgage provides that no other mortgage provides is the flexibility. You can make a payment when it works for you, if it works for you. Or you don't have to make a mortgage payment and you can defer paying back the loan principal and interest until you leave the home, whether that's by you passing away or whether one day you just say, you know what, this is too much home for me and I'm going to list it and sell it. If you do so, you pay off the amount of money that you borrowed plus the interest that accumulated over the life of your loan and you leave the home.
Okay.
But you can make a payment if you want to. So there's a lot of people that do right now and they treat it like a traditional mortgage. Maybe they're in their young 60s, and maybe they're going to make a payment, but what happens if they need long-term care? What happens if an emergency were to arise? They're not saddled with a mortgage payment each and every month, and that's
fantastic.
Difference.
But let me ask you this, because say somebody's 62, and they have – just say they have 80%. I mean, their house is almost paid off or is paid off. And they only get Social Security and they don't have any other income, but their credit's perfect. So in that situation, they wouldn't qualify for that because of everything's changed since 2015. They have perfect credit. They have a lot of equity, but their income isn't high. So they wouldn't qualify for that much, would they, usually?
So
if they don't, like, say they don't have a job.
It's typically easier to qualify for a reverse mortgage than a traditional mortgage, and I'll tell you why. Reverse mortgages, to qualify, we look at residual income, RI we call it. With a traditional mortgage, a traditional mortgage underwriter is going to look at DTI, debt-to-income ratio. And those are two different factors. What we need to make sure of is after all of your expenses are paid, there's enough money coming in each month to pay your taxes, to pay your insurance, and to maintain the home, because, again, those are the three responsibilities. But there's no calculation. You don't need to meet, like, a 42% DTI
really?
You do in the forward world.
Oh,
it's very
okay,
different.
Because I would assume that.
Yeah, a lot of our clients, I wouldn't say most, but a lot of our clients are only on a single income, whether it be Social Security or a pension. You don't need a lot of income to qualify. You just need enough baseline income to afford to comply with the responsibilities of the loan.
So they would take annuities into effect or money in the bank or stocks and all that? Would they take that into consideration, like asset loans, or no?
Yeah. We actually did a loan last month. The homeowner had very little income coming in, but he had $2 million in an IRA. And we were able to take that $2 million and do an income calculation on it. And he qualified, not because he had a little bit of income coming in, because otherwise he wouldn't have qualified without these assets, but he had $2 million sitting in an IRA that we were able to repurpose as income, not touch it. We're not touching that money, but we just said, hey, that money is there.
It was covered.
We knew it was covered. We could look at how much his taxes and insurance are and determine that there's plenty of money there to be able to afford living in the home.
That's excellent. It's just so it's different just for me to, just because my brain, you know, I'm 30-some years, 5 years in real estate. Can we look at ratios and numbers and all that? So it's totally like throw that out the window kind of speak, right? When we look at ratios of with buying a house, selling it is just is completely different what they're looking for. They don't is there a formula still like you do with ratios, or is it you don't look at the debt, or you have to look at some debt, right?
So the formula is, well, one, it's the geographic region of the country that you live in. So because the taxes, obviously, and the upkeep and just owning a home is more expensive, let's say, in California than it is in, Delaware or even Maryland,
right,
where I am and where you are.
Right.
So it's the
right.
geographic region of the country, the square footage of the home, because the square footage of the home oftentimes is going to dictate how expensive it is to maintain the home. We look at the taxes and the insurance, and we come up with a formula that gives us the RI, the residual income. And then we also look at how much debt you have going out versus how much income is coming in, and that's how we're able to determine if you qualify. But then again, we can also take into consideration factors such as what we just mentioned, assets. Maybe if you have rental properties, income that's derived from those rental properties. You mentioned annuities,
okay.
IRAs, 401ks, any of those.
Right,
things.
Right. Huh. Interesting.
And I think the big thing to look at with reverse mortgages is this. For most baby boomers, the majority of their net worth is in their home equity.
Right.
The last report on senior housing wealth for people that were over the age of 65, there's $7.54 trillion untapped equity nationwide.
Wow.
So the home, the house, is where the wealth is for baby boomers right now. Very few people have pensions these days. Maybe if you're lucky enough and you work for the
That's
government
true.
Or if you work for a really good company, maybe you have a pension. But retirement is tough to fund retirement nowadays. And the toughest thing to figure out is how long you're going to live. Longevity, I think, is the number one risk in retirement, because we're playing a guessing game. Nobody knows how much money they're going to need in retirement because nobody can predict how long they're going to live. You can maybe predict based on how long your mom or dad or grandfather or grandmother lived, but there's no real method to predict how long we're going to live. We can all die tomorrow, or we can live another 40, 50, 60, who
right.
knows? We're playing a guessing game trying to figure out how much we're going to need in retirement. But the one fact is that for most seniors, the wealth is in the home. And so understanding
right.
how to strategically and how to tax efficiently pull out some of that money, not to take it all as cash, because I would advise that if there's debt to pay off or if there's remodeling that needs to be done to the home. But oftentimes it's taking it out either in a monthly payment where the reverse mortgage is going to send a check to you every month, or taking it in a line of credit. There's a lot of different strategic methods, and that's why I advise if you're looking into a reverse mortgage, make sure you're working with somebody that specializes in reverse mortgages. There's a lot of people out there that can do reverse mortgages. It doesn't mean that they specialize in them.
Right.
I think the power of reverse mortgages is all about how they're structured. There's a lot of different options when it comes to reverse mortgages, and I think, the first thing that we do is we sit down with the client, we look at their goals, we look at everything, top to bottom, and we help them figure out where in the retirement plan the home equity should fit if they're suitable for a reverse mortgage. We have a lot of conversations with folks, and we're like, you know what, I don't see a need for you to take out a reverse mortgage, and if that's the case, we're going to shoot you straight. And I think that's just, that's our integrity speaking for itself right there. We will not originate a reverse mortgage for somebody who is not suitable for a reverse mortgage. But for a lot of people out there, it is an incredible option to liquefy their fixed asset, which is their home equity, and repurpose that home equity and use it in a variety of strategic ways to just fund a better retirement.
Amazing. Well, give us a couple examples of how they would use a reverse mortgage to fund a more comfortable retirement.
For
money
wise. So you can take a reverse mortgage here's an example number one. Let's say you have a mortgage right now and you have a $1,500 a month mortgage payment or $1,000 a month mortgage payment. A reverse mortgage is going to pay off and replace your current mortgage. It's going to then make your monthly payment a flexible monthly payment. So you can choose to continue to make a payment, or you don't have to make a monthly payment, and you can defer paying it back until you leave the home. Well, if you're somebody that had a $1,000 a month payment or a $1,500 a month payment, and you don't have that payment any longer, well, then maybe you can afford to cover a long-term care policy. Long-term care policies, for once you get over 70, they can be a little expensive. But if you're in your 60s, they're still very affordable. Even if you're in your young 70s and you're healthy, you can still afford a long-term care policy. Maybe just freeing up that extra cash flow every month will enable you to fund a long-term care policy. Or even if it doesn't, and even if you don't buy a long-term care policy, funneling that money away and putting it into another savings or an investment account and using that account solely for the purpose of funding long-term care. Because what we find is healthcare costs and long-term care, that's the biggest wrecking ball to any retirement plan.
Do you see? That's a good. So, that I'm not asking for, because of course we can't do legal advice or anything like that. But you know this so well. On this long-term care, it's amazing to me that you can still really get it in your 60s and 70s. I guess it's probably going to be very expensive. But do you, is it seem better to get like an insurance policy that includes long-term care, or is it better to? And I know this is a general question, so I'm not holding you to it. But or is it better for someone to get long-term care that ties in with, like, each state, what do they call it? There's a certain – okay, so I'm going to go forward a bit. They have a look back on people when they are going to go into – say they run out of assets and have to go to Medicaid or Medicare. And they have a five-year look back, and it used to be a three-year look back. And so – people should go ahead and look at the long-term care, but is it better? I'm asking you a loaded question, so forgive me, but I know you'll understand me. Is it better probably for someone to get the life insurance policy, say it's a couple hundred thousand, may give them $8,000 a month long-term care, or is it better for them to just get a total long-term care policy that lets you take advantage of, for example, Maryland, I think that you can have it like $300,000 of assets and still get the Medicaid, Medicare if you need it later. Many, many places, it's only a couple thousand if you don't have this type of policy. Because I think, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm throwing this out there, I think a lot of the states want people to get long-term care because they feel like it takes the liability off of the state in paying for them, you know, if they get to Medicaid or Medicare, I always get that mixed up, when they need that, if they don't have any assets. So the state's willing, depending on the state, to give a, like Maryland, I think, is $300,000 that you can still have in assets and then get help from the state if you've used up all your other monies. But if you just go and get an insurance policy, which will give you money for long-term care, you don't get that state exclusion. Now, am I making sense? What I'm asking you, because
you
know this so well.
You totally are, and I 100% get where you're going with it. I would say this. There are so many different options right now to fund long-term care. There are life insurance policies where you can borrow some of the cash value to fund long-term care. There's single-pay policies where you pay a one-time payment, and that covers your long-term care insurance. There are so many different options. It really comes down to the budget, number one, the goals, and how much long-term care you think you need. And for that, you know, I'm certified in long-term care, but I don't sell long-term care.
Right.
So I would say I have a lot of different great long-term care individuals that I have fantastic relationships with, and I would refer any of our clients to one of those relationships, and they would be able to answer the question better. It really – there's no one-trick pony for long-term care. It depends on so many different factors that I wouldn't even be able to give an educated answer to the question.
But I think the state, though, I think that the different states do give a certain amount, right, that they allow to be exempted if you have a long-term care. It was like part of what the plan is so that it's not – people are not – for a better word, I shouldn't say burden, but they're not, you know, taking money from the state if they have – I mean, they're making sure that they're set up better, right? And I think that's why – the exclusions for some but not all. I think it's because I heard under the life insurance that you don't get that state exclusion of like so many hundreds of thousand in assets, but I don't know. You're right. It goes over all of it. So you're saying there's so many factors. I think another factor, too, is some of the policies say somebody has to be in a facility, and then there's also policies that let you stay home, right? So that's a different
And so that's a perfect example of, you know, sitting down with a professional that's going to be able to help with long-term care, explaining the goals. And if the goals are to stay at home, you want to make sure that you're receiving a policy that's going to help you do that. And then there's also, you know, there's the Medicaid planning, there's the state planning components that go into long-term care. So there's so many factors. My point is, a reverse mortgage can help fund one of those insurance policies just by freeing up the additional cash flow each month and not having to make a monthly mortgage payment any longer. What a reverse mortgage can also do is a reverse mortgage can be structured as a line of credit, and that line of credit can be the long-term care insurance policy. So if you can't afford the insurance policy or you don't want to purchase a long-term care insurance policy, if let's say you can take $50,000 or $100,000 out of your home equity, not use it, but park it in a line of credit. Now, you're not paying interest on this money unless you borrow it. So it could literally sit there in the line of credit and never be used, but it's there and it's a safety net. And if you need long-term care one day, it's going to be a godsend to have that money there. Because again, the biggest wrecking ball to any retirement plan is healthcare costs and long-term care.
Right.
I mean, I have seen both just absolutely devastate what our clients and our clients thought they had a very bulletproof retirement plan, but they didn't factor in how much care really cost. It is unbelievably expensive just for a home health aide. Just for a home health aide, the lowest level of in-home care, a home health aide is going to cost. I know in Maryland it costs about $24-25 bucks an hour. If you need somebody to come to your house. Even 3 days a week, I mean, that's going to add up.
I have a mother who's got Alzheimer's, a dementia Alzheimer's, and out of state right now. But it's, I mean, you're looking at $4,000 to $7,000 a month, you know, is what you're looking at easy.
Yep.
Just before they even really, I've seen people where once they get to full-on Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, the full-on nursing home care, it'd be $11,000 a month. You know, it's astronomical. It can get to be astronomical. I can see where it eats up people's funds quickly. That's
another way, just pivoting real quick, you know, to answer your question and how the reverse mortgage can help fund a more comfortable retirement. It can also help to stretch your retirement savings. And so getting away a little bit from long-term care, you know, another strategy that we implement or we help our clients or educate our clients implement is using the wealth that's built up in the home before tapping into your other investment accounts. And by doing so, it's likely that if you're going to be tapping into your other investment accounts, unless it's a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, most of the time, every time you take a distribution, you're paying taxes on that distribution. When you pull the money from the home, that's all tax-free money. The home equity by way of a reverse mortgage is 100% tax-free. And so from a tax perspective, it could be more beneficial to pull from the home instead of pulling from your other assets. And what that also does is it enables your other assets to continue to grow, right? So we're in, I know the stock market's up and down, but for the most part, the stock market has been up for quite some time now, I mean, several years.
Right.
And so when the stock market is up, you want as much money as possible in that account to accumulate as much growth as possible. But counter to that, when the stock market's going down, the last thing that you want to do is draw money and deplete that asset when you're already losing money with that asset. So we educate our clients on how to use a reverse mortgage as, one, a hedge against market correction. So if the market's going down, don't pull from your investment accounts, pull from the wealth in your home. But then also look at taking the wealth in your home first before pulling from those other assets, because you're going to be able to maximize the growth on those accounts. And so using the equity in the home is a strategic way to stretch your retirement savings.
Now, for everybody, Stephen's going to give his contact information, but for anybody that knows, you can always contact us at realityuniversal.com, and we'll give it to you as well, because I know, depending on where you're listening in the show, you want to give your contact information to
I would love to. Sure. So you can reach me at 410-814-7575. It's 410-814-7575, or online. Our website is thestephenjslessgroup.com. It's thestephenjslessgroup.com. Or you can Google the Stephen J. Sless Group, and we'll pop right up, and you can have all of our contact information there. That's also a great place to look at all of our reviews. really grateful for all of our great clients, and we have all 5-star reviews, and if you peruse through there, you'll just get a little flavor of how we deal with our clients and why we take so much pride in the manner in which we help our clients. We have all 5-star reviews for a reason, and it's because we are dedicated exclusively. It's all we do is reverse mortgage. We are dedicated to helping our clients understand where reverse mortgages fit in a modern-day retirement plan.
Wow, you are amazing, amazing. I've got a couple quick questions, and then I want to go over to a couple other things with you because on the how to buy it, too. So if somebody – so just for example, if somebody – like they don't feel like they need it, but they think it's a great setup because they may need it, and they're going to need it. It's best, say they turn 62 or they could be 60 doing the jumbo. It's wise to look at that as a retirement plan, investment strategy regardless, right? Because just moving forward, you've got such great plans. So a couple questions. Are the interest rates fixed or are they adjustable?
They're both. So you can choose from fixed or adjustable. Right now, adjustable, high twos, low threes. Fixed are going to be in the high threes.
Okay, so fixed, is it for the rest of your life, pretty much?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And then what if, other question, which probably we know the answer, but I'm going to ask, because and that's what we love to do on the show, too, because I just want to make sure everybody's getting their questions answered that are just listening. Okay, so say you qualify, you get the loan, and then, boom, 6 months later you're not working, which you wouldn't qualify based on what the initial amount was. Does that matter, or once you're in, you're in? As long as
you're in, your responsibilities are taxes, insurance, and upkeep of the home. So as long as you comply with those responsibilities, you're fine.
Perfect. I love it. And then tell us a little bit about the equity lines. I know you mentioned that you can get an equity line as well, and you can use it different ways. How does that work? And how does it work if you pass away for your heirs?
Yeah, so the equity line, for somebody who doesn't necessarily need money right now but wants to make their housing wealth part of their retirement income strategy, you can set up a line of credit. I would advise do it as early on as possible because you're going to get the most bang for your buck. You're going to get the most benefit out of it. The line of credit can be put on standby, and it's there for you if and when you need it. You can draw it any amount that you want to at any time. If you don't use it, there's no interest accumulated. So you're only paying interest on the amount of money that you're borrowing. But the best feature about the line of credit, and this is exclusive to reverse mortgages, is you have a guaranteed growth rate on the unused funds. So the guaranteed growth rate currently is 0.5%, half of a percent, over the interest rate on the loan. So let's just say the interest rate is 3%. You're going to earn 3.5% growth rate on the line of credit. And so basically what that does is it's almost like if you have a credit card and your credit card limit is being increased each year by 3.5%.
You're hedging against inflation and kind of being protected. That's really cool. I love the way
if you don't use it, you don't owe it. Now what happens when you pass the house on to your heirs? Well, it depends on how much of that line of credit you use. So the line of credit and the growth that comes along with it, that's only for the borrower, the person that's actually taking out the reverse mortgage, the person whose name is on the reverse mortgage, deed and title and mortgage and all that. So the line of credit is not passed on to the heirs and to the estate. What's passed on to the heirs and the estate is any equity that you leave behind. So
it's still good because they're not going to be liable either if the house is worth less than what you owe. Right, so that's
exactly.
I love it. So, okay, quick question: title. If your property's in a trust, but you're the sole, you're the trustee, you still that doesn't matter, right? Because you're the owner.
Yeah, so we can work with revocable trust, irrevocable trust. We would have to have our title company attorney review it and approve it. But yeah, we can work with
that. So mostly revocable, I would think. But okay, another question is: say somebody has a second home. It's not their principal right now. It's either a second home or partial rental. And they say, okay, under these reverse mortgages, it must be your principal home. So say they say, okay, I'm going to sell my other home, maybe it doesn't have enough equity or whatever, and move into my second home that does have a lot of equity, how long do you have to be in it as your principal residence before you could come and take one of these loans?
So you got to be able to prove that it's your principal residence. I guess it depends, because it depends. Did you own it before? Are you just buying it now? So maybe you gave that as an example that I just missed. If you purchase another home and you're going to plan to use that as your principal residence, you can purchase it with a reverse mortgage. We have a client doing that right now. She lives in Philadelphia. She's staying in Pennsylvania. She's moving to York, Pennsylvania. She is leaving her home in Philadelphia, and she's going to purchase her new home, which is going to now be her new primary residence in York, Pennsylvania. And we're trying to do a simultaneous close where she sells the house in Philadelphia and she purchases the house in York, Pennsylvania, same day. But if she wanted to keep the house in Philadelphia and not sell it, she could do so. We would have to prove that the new home is going to be the primary residence. And so how we do that is –
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so how we do that is a variety of ways. We would need a letter of explanation from the client that just says, I intend to occupy this home as my primary residence. And then at some point we may even need, IDs changed, driver's licenses changed.
Sure. No, that makes sense. But now if it's a home they've owned for years, but they just use it as a vacation, a second home kind of thing, and then they want to move into it, they could still do it. As long as you're proving that it really is your principal residence, you can do it then pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really would be the person's principal. I'm just asking the question to say if there's that they go, oh, you must do it for 6 months. You must have been in there for a year. Those types of things. I'm just trying to throw that kind of stuff out. Wow.
Yep.
It's amazing. We all get to these older ages a lot quicker than we would ever think. When you're in your 30s and 40s, you don't think you're going to hit 50 and 60 and above as fast as it comes. It's amazing. It's very, very amazing.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I don't know. Time flies no matter what.
To that point, I think to that point, it's never too early to plan. And I think what COVID has taught us, and I've heard this from several of my clients, is, gosh, I wish we planned sooner. Where now you don't want to make financial decisions in distress. Planning sometimes can lead to some uncomfortable conversations. Nobody wants to talk about how much they're going to need in retirement. Because if you're a late saver and you haven't done that great of a job saving, it could be pretty daunting to say, well, gosh, I'm going to be retired soon and I'm not going to have enough money, or am I going to have enough money? Nobody wants to sit down with an estate attorney and map out a will and advance directives and all that comes with, but you have to, because otherwise you're going
to
leave your family in an uncomfortable position. You may be in an uncomfortable position and you don't want
to
get
to
the point where you're making financial decisions in distress. So the earlier on you have these conversations, particularly reverse mortgage, the earlier on, when you can understand it fully, not be rushed to make a decision, really comprehend what goes into a reverse mortgage, why is it beneficial, maybe why isn't it beneficial for you. But to do that as early on as possible, I find that that's a much more comfortable way for our clients to address retirement planning. And you're gonna discover things that you need to maybe take action on, and you'll have time to take action on those things. Maybe a reverse mortgage isn't going to be enough. Maybe the equity in your home isn't going to be enough and you need to save an extra 5% more. You're going to learn that early on if you start to plan early on.
And a lot of people you can refer people to as well in different if it's at other parts of this. It's really great. Now, would you believe we're down to 10 minutes? Of course, we run through this so fast, I don't even put commercials in. So I want to switch over briefly and let's tell people how they can purchase another home with a forward reverse mortgage.
So it's called a HECM for purchase, or home equity conversion mortgage for purchase. It's just a fancy way of saying it's a reverse mortgage purchase. So look, I think the easiest way to explain it is this. If you're going to refinance your home and take out a reverse mortgage, you're going to need, like we said before, about 50% equity. That's kind of the baseline. With a reverse purchase, you're buying the house and you're putting in the 50% equity. So your down payment would be 50%. the reverse mortgage would cover the remaining 50%. There's no mandatory monthly payment. There's a flex pay. Again, pay whatever you want at any time or defer all payback, including interest, until you leave the home. So you, let's say you're looking at a house and the house is $400,000. What are your options to pay for that house? If you're 70 years old, how are you going to buy this $400,000 house? The first way is cash, right? But do you want to take $400,000 in cash and lock it in a house where you don't have access to it? Yeah, you're going to own the house free and clear, and that's great, but what good does that do for you from a cash flow perspective? So if option one doesn't work, what about option two? Option two, a normal traditional forward mortgage, which everybody knows and has done for years. Does it make sense at 70 years old to have a mortgage payment for 30 years and you're making a mortgage payment until you're 100 years old? Does it even make sense to do it for 15 years and you're making a mortgage payment until you're 85 years old? I would say no.
Right.
You know, I think later on in life, cash is king. You want to preserve as much cash flow as possible. So the third option, and in my opinion, the best option, a reverse purchase. So you're putting down $200,000. You're only locking up half of the money that you would have if you would have paid $400,000 in cash for the home. The reverse covers the additional 50%. Your responsibilities once you're in the home, again, taxes, insurance, home maintenance. You got to occupy the house as your primary residence, but you just bought a $400,000 home and you only came out of pocket with $200,000, and that's the only money that you'll ever put into that home.
Wow. That's perfect. Great.
It's a powerful way to buy a house later in life. It really is. And we see this implemented a lot, right-sizing. You know, we had a client a few months back. They came to us and said, you know, we have a four-bedroom house. All of our kids are out of the house. The grandkids are out of state. What do we need a four-bedroom house for? It was like 3,000 square feet. It was a big
right.
home for just two people. They moved.
Right.
They got a rancher all on one floor, easy peasy. That was going to be their home. That from a lifestyle perspective is going to be a better suited for their long-term needs. So we see this a lot in right-sizing. Downsizing, of course, but also upsizing. You know, maybe you're in a point in your retirement where you're like, you know what? I want my dream house. And we see this all the time. You can buy a dream house. You can buy a $600,000 house, a $700,000 house, and put down half of that money and never have a
right.
monthly mortgage payment. So it's an incredible
right.
way to buy the home that you've always desired later in life with a reverse purchase and not have to make a mandatory mortgage payment. And for realtors,
definitely.
Oh, for realtors, you're able to sell double the home. So let's say somebody
right.
only has $200,000 in cash, and you can't seem to find them for the life of you a home for $200,000 that's going to meet their needs. Well, now you can sell them a $400,000 house. So it's a very ethical way of upsizing your client to
and
a larger
home. And the ratio
home.
Is not going to be the ratio. They just need to qualify for half of right. Are they basically having to qualify for half, not the whole, as long as they can pay taxes, insurance? Because we think so much in the ratios, and they'd have to qualify for a $600,000 home. So interesting.
Right.
It's really very, very good. And then you start. So if the rates start going up, then I mean, they look at it and can decide whether they're going to do a fixed or adjustable. Amazing. Just really. I love it.
Yeah, fixed or adjustable,
once again,
we're going to sit down with them and we're going to figure out what's best.
Okay. Once again, you dispelled the myths and the misperceptions, and you've updated us on everything. And I'm really happy to hear that with COVID, it's still moving and moving and moving. Because we had, with the mortgage industry, you know, when we first had the care bailouts, et cetera, and the bailouts, some things weren't covered in the mortgage banking provisions from the CARES Act, and they did. The government said that people could go into forbearances up to a year, and it was like, how are the servicers, the mortgage bankers, all going to be able to handle the influx when they're not getting paid, right? To be able to pay the investors,
yeah.
And now some
of
that.
I'm so glad you brought
out.
This up too. I'm so glad you brought this up, and I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make this point before.
No, I love it.
I know we only have 6 minutes to go here, so. Everybody, a lot of people, more than half the country that had a mortgage, asked for some sort of forbearance agreement moving forward once COVID hit. So they want to defer, right? That's what a reverse mortgage is. A reverse mortgage is deferment. So you have all of these people across the country that are more than comfortable deferring. But when you mention reverse mortgage, it has a different stigma. A reverse mortgage is simply that. It's deferment. You're deferring paying back the loan, or you're giving yourself the option at least to defer paying back the loan until you're in a better position to pay it back or until you leave the home. I think there's a big misconception, too, with forbearance agreements. A forbearance agreement is not forgiveness.
Terrible.
You owe the money. And there's
interest terrible.
Accumulating.
It's like I'm like, we're going to see in 2021 so many foreclosures and short sales, it makes me sick because my goal is always to help people and have them keep the house, not just sell the house. Just because we're in real estate, we always I'm like you are. I care about the people and want what's best for them, not just putting money in our pocket, you know, type of thing, not just for the business. So I can't believe, I don't know how, I mean, it won't be so much loss mitigation. There's talk about them putting some of the payments on the back end. I just don't think the numbers are going to fan out. I don't think they're going to be able to do that constantly. I think many are going to have to come up with all the money, or they'll make one payment for their mortgage and another payment for what they still owe on the back end. Many people are going to throw their arms up in the air saying, we can't afford it, we got to go, let the house go. We have the situation with so much of the rental moratoriums that the landlords are never going to get that money back. And unless, I want to say never, the government may put out some other plans to give some of that back. But if not, where's it coming from, right? So you're going to have, and what you're talking about with reverse mortgages, no, you're guaranteed and you're protected. It's not a matter of, well, we just changed our program, now you owe everything back, you know? So I agree with you 100%. It's something that I think needed to be disclosed up front. A lot of people thought their credit wouldn't get hurt if they went into forbearance, and then the credits were hurt because the companies and mortgage servicers did put that people are in forbearance, which didn't look good for anyone getting a new loan. See, that's a host of things that aren't protected. And so, there's a few things that have come through to help with that, some of that. But, the reverse mortgages are amazing in this at any time with all the changes, but especially this time, this day and age, when we're going, where do we protect ourselves, right? How do you protect yourselves? So, cool.
And I think the most important thing is the homeowner needs to empower themselves. You got to seek out information. Hopefully by listening to this podcast, you picked up some tidbits of information and some education.
Right.
I would love to expand on that. If anybody has any questions, certainly reach out to us. But no matter who you reach out to somebody, become educated, become empowered, do your homework, do your due diligence. And in doing so, you're going to discover some things may be beneficial, other things may not be. But I guarantee you look into reverse mortgages with an open mind and you understand that they're very different today than they were prior to 2015, they could be a game changer for your retirement income plan. You just got to understand that retirement is different now than it ever was, and that requires different solutions. Reverse mortgage is a great solution.
It's a safer solution, too. You know, we've got a lot of things that are up in the air right now. Stephen, thank you so much. I hope to see you sometime soon. We talk about with COVID, everything just put us all on hold virtually for the last 6 months. So I'm glad everybody is safe and sound in your family and healthy.
Likewise. And to that point, real quick, but about COVID, we're able to do almost the entire process virtually right now. Digital applications. The appraiser does not have to walk in your door. You need no human contact with the appraiser.
Good to know.
So there's a lot of innovation in that way in case people are worried that they're going to have to interact with somebody to take out this loan.
Awesome. I love it. It's great to know. So we will talk to you soon. I love having you in constantly every so many months because you take good care of us and do that homework for us. And I hope to talk to you soon. We'll have to do
a
Zoom one of these days.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.